Welcome back to State of Belief Radio. I'm Welton Gaddy. It was last summer that Jay Michelson wrote Apocalypse Now and Then, Our Global Death Wish, an article for Religion Dispatches. Seems timely, so I'm pleased to have Jay back with us now. Jay, thanks for being here.
My pleasure, Welton.
You were looking at a couple of books that underscore the fascination we humans have with the concept of end times. Would you apply these concepts to the deadly-sounding fiscal cliff as well as the supposed Mayan prediction?
In my opinion, actually, the fiscal cliff, I mean, that's a nice media term for what's going to happen. But that actually is something that's real. There are a series of steps that will take place if an agreement's not reached on the budget. I think where I'm seeing a lot of the apocalyptic thinking now is this looming sense that we've seen, particularly on the right, that everything we love in America is somehow in grave threat. You know, this isn't new, right? I mean, McCarthy said the same thing, and, you know, folks have been saying it's the end of the American Republic since the beginning of the American Republic. That, I think, is apocalyptic thinking.
You wrote about a secular form of millennialism feeding these fears. I don't remember apocalyptic being a word that we used much in the civil realm for a long time. We could talk about it in relation to wars, of course, but not so much in terms of imposing decisions and so forth in the civil realm. And now it's right there that all of these are apocalyptic matters. So expand that, if you will, about how this secular kind of fear is being fed.
One thing that we've really learned in the last few years from scholars is how widespread this phenomenon is. It really does seem to be part of human nature. We're all mortal beings, and to varying degrees, we're all aware that we're not going to be here forever and that the world that we know is going to end when we die. And that seems to get displaced. And those two books that I reviewed, both of which were like 800 pages long, really voluminous works of scholarship, really talk about how pervasive that is. You know, not just in kind of Christian end times theology that, you know, the rapture is imminent or that the apocalypse is nigh, but in every religious tradition and even in secular traditions. So, for example, in fascism or in Marxism or in some of the sort of strange Tea Party American ideologies that we've seen just in the last few years. And this is a really widespread phenomenon. And sometimes it is a notion that, you know, there's about to be a cataclysmic event. So December 21st, that's going to supposedly happen regardless of what we humans do. And sometimes it's seen as a result of human action, such as America will slide into socialism or we're going to provoke divine wrath because of actions that we undertake. It's interesting on the December 21st date, that's not something, that's not coming from Harold Camping or a Christian fundamentalist. Mm-hmm. That's coming from the New Age, right? That's coming from folks who maybe don't identify as religious but might identify as spiritual. And it just goes to show how pervasive end times thinking really is.
We think of ourselves as advanced in 2012, but these fears seem to come from a very primitive place deep within us.
I studied apocalyptic messianism for my PhD, actually, in a sort of obscure 18th century messianic movement. And, you know, what's come up in that study, I think there's been two causes of this obsession. One I mentioned before, this sort of psychological notion that we are all going to die and that this is really a displaced kind of fear about death or a death wish, like the title of that article suggested. The other is actually an ethical preoccupation. You know, when we look out at the world, obviously, whatever our views, you know, progressive or conservative or whatever our orientations are ethically, the world does not measure up to our ethical standard. And a lot of millennialist apocalyptic thinking is a way to kind of rectify that cognitive dissonance. So right now, things are terrible. But after the second coming, there's going to be justice and there's going to be order. And, you know, at the time of Jesus, there were a number of sects who believed that the end of the world was nigh. And they believed that because they looked out at the world, you know, the Roman occupation of the Holy Land, for example, and it seemed so radically at odds with their conception of how the world should be. And so they deferred this idea. It was, now it's not good, but after some cataclysmic event, the world will be as it should.
I've been speaking with Jay Michelson, associate editor at Religion Dispatches and founder of Neharim, GLBT Jewish Culture and Spirituality. Jay's most recent book is God Versus Gay, The Religious Case for Equality. Jay, I want to thank you for being with us today and wish you a happy Hanukkah. See, this year it has worked out for you. Whether the Mayans were right or wrong, you'll be able to celebrate the Festival of Lights all the way through. Christmas, maybe not so much.
I'm glad to be on the safe side this year.
It's over.
Dr. Mark Van Stone is one of the nation's leading experts on Mayan culture and art, and his lifetime study of this ancient civilization certainly qualifies him to help all of us decide if it's worth doing any Christmas shopping at all this year. Dr. Van Stone, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Before I ask you the big question, please summarize for us how the Mayans came to be seen by some as a very prophetic culture.
About 100 years ago, there were some scholars that basically knew how to read Maya dates and little else from their inscriptions, and who speculated on some of the artwork of the Maya that it showed a flood, and they compared it to the flood at the end of the world. And that was the beginning of the Maya mean. That was about 110 years ago.
Was there something unique about the way the Mayans represented their wisdom and beliefs in their art?
Yes, there was. The Maya were very, very good at mathematics. Of all the mathematical systems of ancient peoples, like the Romans, like the Greeks, like the Chinese, the Mayas were the most advanced mathematicians. And we know from their inscriptions that they were also good astronomers. And in fact, their astronomy was laced with astrology, and their mathematics was laced with numerology.
Mm-hmm.
When you learn that the Maya were able to calculate huge numbers that the Egyptians and the Romans never did, you know, that makes them seem very advanced, very sophisticated. Intellectually, they were very advanced, but they were still in the Stone Age. They never developed the wheel. They never developed metal.
Huh.
The Maya and the Egyptians, for instance, covered their world with inscriptions, and yet the people on the streets at that time were just as ignorant of their writing as the tourists are today.
Well, your credentials, Dr. Van Stone, offer us the very kind of confidence that we need to ask you this big question, and so I'm going to ask it. If you were to call me up on December 22nd, would I be likely to answer?
Yes, you would be there. The Maya actually never predicted any end to their calendar or their culture, and everything that you hear about the prophecies of the Maya is really people fantasizing and placing it on the Maya. And of course, the Maya are a good recipient for this because we really know so little about them. They're a blank slate.
Is there something in the Maya writing that caused people to think this was a prediction? And would you have thought these kinds of hyperbolic predictions would come from those writings?
There was something in the Maya writing. They should have called the creation date 00000 if they counted time like we do. But to them, the date of their creation was called 13000. And that means that there was a 5,000-year period before creation that they designated as the time the gods ruled and built the world or prepared the world, if you will. And it's been 5,000 years since that creation date. And that amount of time has almost passed again.
Mm-hmm.
And that coincidence is what got scholars speculating that the Maya believed that this 13000 cycle was a recurring thing. And it turns out that it's not recurring. There is one inscription which clearly says that they're going to go on to the 14th Bakhtun and on to the 15th and on to the 20th. And that inscription is at Palenque. It's in the Temple of the Inscriptions. And it goes to the year 4772. And it says that on that date, our great king Pakal will be celebrated, you know, that they're going to be celebrating an anniversary of his coronation. And that tells me two things. It says that they are telling us that the calendar itself does not end. It keeps going, keeps on going up, doesn't even restart. And that they believe their civilization would go on for another 4,000 years.
Hmm.
That as far as they were concerned, there's no end to the calendar and there's no end to their culture.
Dr. Mark Van Stone is professor of art history at Southwestern College and a renowned expert on ancient Mayan hieroglyphics. His latest book is 2012: Science and Prophecy of the Ancient Maya. And it's just out in a new interactive digital version. Dr. Van Stone, thanks so much for taking time to be with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you. Take care.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show, and I'm dead serious about that. I mean, we're running out. All I have time to say right now is send questions for our year-end answers show, and if the world has not come to an end, we will answer them. Send it to questions@stateofbelief.com or call 800-856-0277. Twitter, Facebook, free State of Belief app, podcast, transcripts, extended interviews, all of that, State of Belief. Belief.com. The show is produced by Interfaith Alliance. Join and support at interfaithalliance.org. Tell friends to listen. Join us next week. Religion, government, politics, intersection, and until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.